be able to worship together. So we're thankful for our visitors. We're glad that you're here and look forward to our study together. We're enjoying in our Sunday morning class a wonderful study in the book of Romans. Brother Joel is very capable in teaching that and getting into some very difficult areas of study. Personally, I believe the book of Romans is more difficult to teach than the book of Revelation. But it's all worthy of our study. And I thought while we were in that area of study that I would add some things to that. Certainly not want you to think that I'm thinking Brother Nichols is not teaching the class adequately. But while we're there, give a little attention to some of the things that are involved in the book of Romans. So I wanted to talk with you this morning about the idea of law. One of the great themes of the book of Romans, and there's quite a few, of course, but the problem of sin is there. And he's pointed out in chapter 1, he's talking about the sins of the Gentiles. In chapter 2, the sins of the Jews. And then in chapter 3, the conclusion that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That presents a problem with regard to God saving us. God has said, the soul that sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and verse 20. We have sinned, therefore we ought to die. But in the process, God's grace and mercy is shown to us by the fact that he sent Jesus to die on the cross that we could have forgiveness of those sins. Involved in the study of salvation and how God is going to deal with sin is the subject of the law. It's always been confusing. There's been, from the earliest time of law, some confusion about which law we're talking about. And we'll conclude that there are three laws eventually that we'll talk about. But the idea of law keeping. With the Jew, they felt like the law was the end within itself. If they kept the Ten Commandments, if they had a direct descendant from Abraham, they were God's chosen people and saved apart from any kind of life that they lived. And they became as unrighteous, we find out in chapter 2, as the Gentiles in chapter 1. So the problem is, how are they going to be saved? Well, in their mind, in the Jewish mind, the law was going to do all that, the law and circumcision. So the apostle deals with the law in the chapter 2 and 3 of the law of the law of God and other laws. When we talk about law, there seems to be with some people a sense of resentment against it, and there should not be. Righteous law of God is always good. God has never decreed anything toward us that is not for our good. So I look at law as good. Now, the laws of men may not be fair. The laws of men may not be righteous. But the laws of God are always for our benefit. And what we talk about, a law is a system of rules to be applied to people who are subject to them. Now, I'm not subject to the body of laws in Mexico. I'm not subject to the law of in Russia, but I'm subject to the laws of the United States. And so we need to recognize that point as well. And laws are not for an individual, but for a group of people. But within each group, each individual is subject to that law. So law is something that always rules our life. And from creation, God has always provided laws for his people. There's never been a time, as was pointed out in class, when law did not exist. And the reason why that's so is because man needs to be guided. Jesus brought out very clearly in the New Testament that we're like sheep. We often go astray. Well, the law is sort of a boundary to give us boundaries to keep us safe from harm. And it should be looked as that. I recognize, again, that men's law are not always just and right. But certainly the laws of God always are. And mankind has always been under law. Well, God instructed Adam and Eve, even in the garden. We talk about the patriarchal age, but this even goes back before the patriarchal age, because there was a time in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were the only two that we know about, and that they were under law that God gave them. They were to tend and to keep the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, but we also found out that they were not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in chapter 3, points out they did that. Hebrews 11:4 speaks of the children. children, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we learned in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing. So Cain and Abel were under law. They had a responsibility of doing what God told them to do with regard to the law of God. Abel obeyed and Cain did not. So we see the failure to obey law very early. How did Abel know what to offer? Well, that's because God gave him a law, told him what he needed to know, and we need to understand that. Well, the way that God, through the centuries, has delivered laws, he spoke to Adam, first of all, in the garden, and then Adam was the patriarch of his family, or the father of his family, and in Genesis 20 and verse 7, it talks about the fact that Abraham was a prophet, and that's how God spoke to the fathers. They spoke as the heads of the families, as a prophet. I want to come back to that in just a little while. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 said that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That was the way the law of God was given. It was an oral law, not written down, but all the fathers of the families understood that law, and they were bound by that law, and we recognize that as the patriarchal law, not because that word is in the Bible used like that, but it was given to the fathers or the patriarchs. And so this was a widespread law over the entire worldwide use of man during the time before the law of Moses was given. And so the patriarchal law from Adam until the law of Moses was given to everybody on earth. That's everyone had to live under that particular law. And the law of Moses then was given to the descendants of Abraham. Now, you may be familiar with this very much, but I want to sort of put it together under the subject of law to understand how then that applies to us today. So the law of Moses was given to the descendants of Abraham. It was not given to the patriarchs of the earth. Everyone else was still under the patriarchal law. The separate law given to the Jews was to them only. And I want to go to Romans chapter 1. We had a good study about that this morning. In Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 24, there's some things there that I don't want to repeat too much what Brother Nichols has already said. Beginning with verse 24, it talks about the fact that God gave up the Gentiles. I pointed out in the past that I think this was the period of time when Abraham was called. And he was called, and the patriarchal law continued during that time, but God left the Gentiles to their own dominion, and he let them give up the knowledge of God, as he says in this particular chapter. But Abraham lived under that patriarchal law period of time. And then there were two laws at one time during this period of time. The information about the Gentiles and the law they live under is sort of limited. As I said, I believe it was the patriarchal law. But God has always had a law for all of mankind. And the Gentiles had prophets and offered sacrifices. And that was brought out very clearly this morning, the time of Job and others under the patriarchal time. There were people who were righteous people living under that patriarchal law during that period of time. They kept what God had told them as it was handed down. Even to Balaam, when God spoke to Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, Balaam was a prophet. He turned out not to be a faithful prophet, but God was known among the people of the time before the law of Moses was given and among those Gentiles. And so when we look at this, Abraham was called, and he was called to secure the line of Christ. It was necessary that Christ come to some nationality, and God picked the Hebrews, and there was the one that he called Abraham. Everybody else was still under that patriarchal law. Then Moses led Abraham's descendants through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai, and they received the law of Moses. Again, this is historical. It's known to many of you, but as it comes to the law, the book of Romans, sometimes it gets sort of confusing. And so in Exodus 34:1, the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So this was the giving of the law of Moses in the Ten Commandments. Now while they were on Mount Sinai, there were many other laws given in what's called the law of Moses. This was only to the Hebrews, only to the descendants of Abraham. It was exclusively for those whom Joshua would lead into the promised land, not for the whole world. And that part sometimes confuses people. So when you look at this, these two laws that are concurrent at that time would be replaced by the law of Christ. I think this illustration is something that helps a great deal. It's rather simple, but it also states the historical fact of the two laws. Beginning at the time of Abraham, if not before, you had the patriarchal law that was given to the fathers as God spoke to them through the prophets in various ways, sometimes by dreams, sometimes by visions, but God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. At the time of Mount Sinai, these people who were the Hebrews, becoming the Jews, were pulled off separately. They lived under the Mosaical law, the law of Moses. So there were two laws running concurrently. The book of Romans alludes to this when it talks about the fact, if you'll go to chapter 2, and look at this, beginning with about verse 11. In chapter 2, there's no partiality with God, so we're going to come to the point where there's only one law, the law of Christ, which is true today. But he said in verse 12 of Romans 1, for as many as have sinned without the law, that is the law of Moses. And so when we talk about this, we're talking about those under the patriarchal law. There were those who sinned under the patriarchal law. There were those who sinned under the Mosaic law. And he said, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law, and that law is the law of Moses, are judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law, and again you're talking about this period of time, the Gentiles did not have the Mosaic law, when the Gentiles do not have the law, by nature did the things contained in the law, these also not having the law are a law to themselves. Now this is confusing to some people, but the idea very clearly is that the patriarchal law continued. People were judged under that, while the Jews were judged under the Mosaical law. I want to go back to an incident under the patriarchal law, the time of Abraham, and explain the idea of the law of nature. Some have the idea that it's inborn. I understand the word nature here to be by long established practice. That is, under the patriarchal law, and I didn't intend to do that, but under the patriarchal law, I'll get back to it in just a moment. There we are. When under the patriarchal law, you would have someone like Abimelech. Abraham lied to Abimelech about his wife. And Abimelech came to understand that Sarah was Abraham's wife, and he was horrified because he had thought about taking her as his wife. He knew adultery was wrong. And there are things under this patriarchal law that people by law they'd heard from their father passed down to their progenitors. You have to understand they still had a memory of the law. And so as the patriarchal law continued, there were people like Job, there were people, others such as Abimelech, who understood, and by nature or long established practice, they came to understand right from wrong without the law of Moses. Now the ones under the law of Moses had the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Now the people under the patriarchal law, they understood if somebody steals from me, that's wrong. And so it was wrong to steal. That was long established practice because handing down from the time of Adam on further down, God had spoken to the fathers and they understood that there were certain things that were wrong. What Paul is saying in the book of Romans that these patriarchs, these Gentiles over here, they're going to be judged by the patriarchal law. And that's the law of nature in that sense, and it's also the law of their conscience, because they didn't have the written law. Now, when the Mosaic law was given, the Jews were judged by the Mosaic law, and they were not judged like the patriarchal law. They were judged by the law of Moses. For example, the patriarchal law didn't have anything to do about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So they were not judged whether or not they worked on the Sabbath day, but the Jews were judged by the Sabbath day because it was a part of the law of Moses. What Paul is saying is, in the book of Romans, that is being so eloquently taught in class, is that a righteous God is judging righteousness regardless of what law you're under. And during the time of the patriarchs, they were under the patriarchal law. At the same time, the Jews were pulled aside and given the law of Moses, but God's righteousness was without partiality, chapter 2, verse 11, because under both, he judged by righteousness. Now, the problem with the Jews would be that they came to look at the law as the means of salvation without living right. And what's being said here very clearly is that God judges righteously. Well, the Jew learned to compartmentalize. They would say, I keep the Sabbath, I'm a good father, I keep the Ten Commandments, I'm a Jew, I'm a descendant of Abraham. When I lie, when I cheat, it doesn't count against me. And they would give unfair measures in their sales, they would commit adultery, they would do various things that were wicked, but it's okay because I'm under the law. Well, on further down in the book of Romans, it comes to the point where he's saying, now wait a minute, you're not saved by law keeping. Abraham was saved before the law was given. If Abraham was saved before the law of Moses was given, there is salvation apart from the law of Moses. And the Jew was really hard pressed to understand that, because in their minds, they felt like the law was theirs, and that law would save them. Now, there's a lot of things that have to be very careful when you teach the book of Romans, as I've done before. I don't want people to think that we're not without law at all. You come to other parts in the New Testament, back in the 70s, we had an argument with brethren who took the statement, we're not under law but under grace, to mean we're not under law at all. And we've always been under law. Law keeping does not save. If I lived perfectly under, and this gets on further into the book of Romans, Paul made the argument that if I had lived perfectly under the law of Moses, I would have earned my salvation. But chapter 1, 2, and 3 is given to show you that nobody has ever lived perfectly. Therefore, we need grace. We need forgiveness. And he introduces that in the rest of the book of Romans so that we can be saved by the blood of Christ. So these things are something we really need to understand. And going a step further with regard to the law of nature, I put that there because there are some who believe that the law of nature continues even today. And that's not true. The law of nature, in my mind and understanding, is the same as the patriarchal law. Patriarchal law was done by long established practice. Generation after generation after generation of people that were Gentiles lived according to the law of the patriarchs. They understood it was wrong to commit adultery. They understood that it was wrong to sin. Now, many of one talks about how many of them gave up all that and became unrighteous. But among those who were not Jews, there were still some people that lived a righteous life. And God accepted them, such as Job. And we see that in the other parts of the Bible, as he pointed out this morning with regard to Nineveh and their repentance. And so we have to understand that this law of nature idea is not really what many people think of it as being, as something continuing today, and that God judges us by our conscience today regardless of the law. And that's certainly not true at all. And so the law of Christ is the only law we're under today. Patriarchal law doesn't exist anymore. The Mosaic law doesn't exist anymore so far as it being bound, because God loosed us from the Ten Commandments. God loosed us from the law of Moses. We have the Lord's Supper. We don't have an animal being slain up here on Sunday morning. Why? Well, because the law of Moses was fulfilled and taken out of the way. And so today we have the New Testament. And it's amazing when you go back and look at early America and the religion back in the 1500s and the 1600s, nobody made this distinction. People would go to the Old Testament to try to find out how to be saved, just like they would in the New Testament. They didn't understand the idea of the law of Moses being fulfilled and taken out of the way. When Alexander Campbell in the New World first preached that, there was a man broke out in tears when he made the distinction. Here's the old law. We're not under that anymore. Here's the new law. They were in the process of learning the Bible, coming out of denominationalism. And when they heard the idea that the law of Moses was no longer binding, this man burst out in tears because he believed in infant baptism, going back to some Old Testament idea. And he said, we're going to have to give up infant baptism. Well, they finally did because they recognized what the New Testament taught. Baptism is not for babies. But you see this confusion, and a lot of people still are confused about that today. So this is just something to see, the law of Christ, Acts chapter 17, the times of ignorance, Paul said in Athens, God once winked at. During the patriarchal law, he allowed some things he didn't approve of, but now then he wants all people to repent. Now we have the fully revealed gospel of Christ. And there are no excuses for doing the things that the Gentiles might do. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 points out that all are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're under the law of Christ today. We'll be judged by the gospel of Christ today. And we have to understand that. I'm not going to be judged by the law of Moses. I'm not going to be judged by the patriarchal law. I'm going to be judged by the gospel of Christ. And that's what we'll appear with. In Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the fact that with the death of Christ, the two, Jew and Gentile, are now one. One new man in Christ Jesus. We're all Christians. Not Jew or not Gentile, not male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And we're all under the law of Christ. So when you have people with some concept that we're not under law at all, they failed to understand James 1:25, the perfect law of liberty, the gospel of Christ. And I wanted to conclude by noticing Romans chapter 8. I've mentioned the fact there are three laws. And these three laws have to do with our existence today. Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, now here's one law, the law of the Spirit of life, that's the gospel of Christ. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. There's the second law, the law of sin and death. That's all around us. The law of sin and death. The soul that sins shall die. That's still true today. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. The wage of sin is death. When you sin, you die. And sin is still in the world today. Then he says, for what the law could not do. That's the law of Moses. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So you have the law of sin and death that's always in operation as long as the devil is alive. And you have the law of Moses, which is given to keep the Jews separate until Christ would come. But the law was based upon the blood of animals. The book of Hebrews says that the blood of animals could not take away sin. So what the law could not do in taking away the law of sin and death, God did by sending his Son, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees me from sin. This is a beautiful book of Romans. There's so much there to learn. There's so much there to study. And what you like you have in the book of Acts, if I really wanted to be sure that I've been saved, I'd go to the book of Acts. I just read the cases of the conversion. That's how God describes in very vivid pictures how men and women obeyed the gospel of Christ, how they became saved. If you haven't done what they did, you're not saved. If you haven't done what they did, you're not a Christian, because the book of Acts clearly describes what it takes to become a child of God. Acts chapter 2 verse 47 says, after the Jews were baptized in Acts 2, they were all added to the church. And so the church was there and people were being saved. But if you want to go behind the scenes, and Brother Nichols has alluded time or two to the higher spiritual things, you go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans is looking at the mind of God. How does God feel about sin? How does God deal with the fact of sinful man? When God made man upright, Ecclesiastes 7, God made man upright. But Ecclesiastes said, we've sought out many inventions. We've done our thing, which is wrong. How's God going to do that? Because he's already said the soul that sins is going to die. And so we're all worthy of death. That's what Romans 1, 2, and 3 says. But now you go into the book of Romans and it talks about how Jesus Christ died. And that sacrifice for sin, so eloquently taught, the book of Hebrews, tells us that this is God's answer for sin. Whereas he could righteously condemn the whole world because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. He took his own son and sent him. And he paid the price of death. He died in my stead. I sinned, but Jesus died, and he died for me. And I'm set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I tell you, it's a beautiful story. We'll just take the time to really think about the book of Romans. And the story of redemption is there just very clearly, like it is in the book of Acts. You can lay the book of Acts down by the book of Romans, and you'll be able to see that they're saying the same thing, but Romans talks about how God thought about all that. And the book of Acts tells what he told people to preach about that. And so we're able to understand the plan of salvation. We can all be saved. That's the good news. I'm so happy to be able to preach that. We can all be saved. If you'll believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you'll accept that he's the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of sins, the Lord will wash away your sins in the blood of Christ, add you to the church, add you to the kingdom, and enroll your name in the book of life in heaven. Is your name written in the book of life? It ought to be, and it can be, if you'll obey the gospel of Christ. We can help you do that this morning. I'd like to sing a song by way of encouragement and ask you to come forward while we stand together and sing the invitation song.